It was another rough day on Wall Street as the markets seemed to be headed into bear territory. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 9th day of May. Thanks, as always, for being with us, everybody. In other news, the baby formula shortage is getting worse. Lordstown Motors is back in the news, and it's not good news. Another transportation story, Uber is cutting back, and why? Meanwhile, President Biden on some deals that cut the cost of internet connectivity, and the deal is a big one. Just say no to going back to the office. That, too, is a story. We've got the Wall Street Report and the CEO that said office life is over, done, kaput. For the interview, you'll hear from Carl Brower about the continued high cost of used vehicles and a whole bunch more. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. Focusandfind.com. Taro International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and hey, welcome to the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful that you're along for the ride again yet today. Also, you want to follow us on Twitter. You can find us. We're there morning, noon, and night. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. And the Bears, they are out to play, it would seem. Market Watch is reporting that the NASDAQ Composite Index is in a bear market. Now, to be specific, the NASDAQ reached an intraday high of 16,212 back on November 22nd of 2021. Anything below 12,970 on the NASDAQ represents a 20% decline from that high. On May 6, NASDAQ closed at 12,144, well into the bear market territory, and today the NASDAQ closed at 11,623. So yes, it is official. Meanwhile, if the S&P 500 falls below 3854, technically it would be in a bear market, down 20% from its all-time intraday high of 4818 back on January 4 of this year. And today that didn't happen, but it is headed south just like others. For the Dow to enter bear territory, it would have to fall below 29,561. Again, not there yet, but if the sell-off continues, stay tuned and stay with us. I'll have the numbers from today in just a bit. You know, as if we don't have enough to worry about, the shortage of baby formula in the U.S. is getting worse. CBS News is reporting that the issue is so dire that politicians are calling it a national crisis. A new analysis from DataAssembly tells us that among retailers across the U.S., 40% of the top-selling baby formula products were out of stock as of the week ending April 24. To get to that number, the company surveyed 11,000 stores. In April, drugstore chains Walgreens and CVS Health and department store Target put limits on how many baby formula products consumers can purchase at one time. Prices of baby formula, which 3/4 of babies in the U.S. receive within their first 6 months, have also spiked. The average cost of the most popular baby formula products is up as much as 18% over the past 12 months. So, the question is, what's going on? The supply chain snarls related to COVID-19 are contributing to the shortage of formula around the U.S. They include manufacturers having difficulty procuring key ingredients, packaging hang-ups, and labor shortages, with those factors combining to affect production and distribution. In addition, a major baby formula recall back in January kind of exacerbated shortages. Months ago, EV manufacturer Lordstown Motors was all the rage. The company had taken over an old GM facility in Lordstown, Ohio, and promised to create a cutting-edge electric truck along with hundreds of good-paying jobs. Well, all of that now could be on the line. Bloomberg is reporting that shares of Lordstown Motors sank as much as 19% after it pushed back another deadline to complete the sale of its Ohio assembly plant to Taiwan's Foxconn. Lordstown postponed the closing of the Foxconn transaction for the former GM plant by 4 days to May 18 and said Monday it will delay investment in tooling that would lower its production costs. Foxconn made $200 million in down payments on the $230 million purchase price for that Ohio plant. Now, this marks the second delay of a deal that had originally been set to close last month. If it's not finalized by May 18 and the deadline is not extended, Lordstown would have to pay the money back. And guess what? The company says it does not have the cash to do that. Uber Technologies is scaling back their hiring and their marketing. The rideshare company said that changing consumer dynamics are causing the company to rethink their business model and only expend in specific areas. In addition, the aggressive marketing the company has been doing will see some changes as well. What those changing consumer dynamics are was not made clear. Saying that high-speed internet is no longer a luxury, President Biden today announced a deal among a host of internet provider companies that will lower the cost of connecting. The Boston Herald is reporting that 20 internet companies have agreed to provide discounted service to people with low incomes, a program that could effectively make tens of millions of households eligible for free service through an already existing federal subsidy. The $1 trillion infrastructure package passed by Congress last year included $14.2 billion worth of funding for the Affordable Connectivity Program, which provides $30 monthly subsidies, $75 in tribal areas, on internet service for millions of lower-income individuals. With the new commitment from the internet providers, some 48 million households will be eligible for $30 monthly plans for 100 megabits per second or higher speed service, making internet service fully paid for with government assistance if they sign up with one of the providers providing the program. Biden noted that families of four earning about $55,000 annually, or those including some eligible for Medicaid, will get a $30 monthly credit, meaning about 40% of Americans will qualify. And make no mistake, this is a big deal. Biden, during his White House run and the push for infrastructure bills, made expanding high-speed internet access in rural and low-income areas a priority. He has repeatedly spoken out about how low-income families are struggling to find reliable Wi-Fi so that their kids could take part in remote schooling and complete homework assignments early in the coronavirus pandemic. And that included families that were driving to McDonald's parking lots to access wireless and internet inside the restaurant. Now, the participating providers are Allo Communications, Alta Fiber, and Hawaiian Telecom, Altice USA, Optimum, and Suddenlink, Astound, AT&T, BreezeLine, Comcast, Comporium, Frontier, IdeaTech, Koch Communications, Jackson Energy Authority, MediaCom, MLGC, that's Spectrum Communications and Charter Communications, Starry, Verizon, FIOS only, Vermont Telephone Company, Vexus Fiber, and WOW Internet Cable and TV. It is, make no mistake, a big deal. You know, people enjoy remote work, and companies are finding this out one by one. Benzinga is reporting that after 2 years of remote working, Apple employees have shown reluctance to return to the office, even as the tech giant advocates a hybrid work policy. It now appears that Apple's return-to-office move could hurt the company more than earlier thought. You see, Apple's director of machine learning, Ian Goodfellow, has departed in protest of the company's return-to-work policy. Apple hired Goodfellow, a former Alphabet executive, in April of 2019. He also had a stint at Elon Musk-founded OpenAI Lab. Credited as the father of generative adversarial network, which means it helps distinguish fake data from real data, Goodfellow reportedly said in a staff memo he believed, quote, strongly that more flexibility would have been the best policy for my team, end quote. After putting it off several times, Apple finally brought employees back into the workplace on April 11. It initially asked employees to come to the office at least one day a week and increased the frequency to 2 days on May 4th. That is all set to rise to 3 days a week starting on May 23rd. The employees have been sounding out mass threats of mass resignations over the move. Recently, Apple workers criticized the company's decision in an open letter and called the company's executive team to show some flexibility and let go of the rigid policies. Well, the sell-off continued today as the Dow cratered by 653 points to end the day at 32,245, while the NASDAQ was off by 521 points, closing at 11,623, and the S&P 500 fell by 132 points to end the trade at 3991. It appears, according to some, that the high-flying days of the markets may be a thing of the past. The sell-off in stocks came even as the yield on the 10-year Treasury note edged lower to about 3.04%, down from Friday's 3.1% close as investors looked to escape the carnage in equities. So far in 2022, there has been nowhere to hide in markets as stocks, bonds, and crypto have all been getting crushed, and stocks and bonds are in a simultaneous correction for the first time in over 50 years. Morgan Stanley analysts said that retail traders have now lost all the money they gained during the pandemic. And finally, there is this. While we just had a story about how Apple is wanting their employees to head back to the office, here is a story going exactly in the opposite way. Airbnb CEO Brian Chesky is on a crusade to change the way we think about work. Shortly after announcing the company's employees can work from anywhere without taking a pay cut note, he's challenging the necessity of in-person work itself. This is what he said, quote, "I think the office as we know it is over," he told Time. "We can't try to hold on to 2019 any more than we can hold on to 1950. Chesky went on to flout remote work as a powerful recruiting tool and predicted that companies would shift to only requiring employees to meet up once a quarter. And listen to this quote from Chesky. This is what he said, quote, "If the office didn't exist, I'd like to ask, would we invent it? And if we invented it, what would it be invented for? Obviously, people are still going to hospitals and work. People are still going to coffee shops and work. Those spaces make complete sense. But I think for somebody whose job is on a laptop, the question is, well, what is an office meant to do?" End quote. So have you got an answer? All right, stay with us because coming up next, a guy that does work from home doing car data for iccars.com. Carl Brower is a return guest. We are talking about the high cost of used cars, why that's happening, what the future of EVs is, and a whole lot more. If you like cars, you're going to love this segment. Carl Brower, next, here on Insight on Business.